All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm sitting here with Mr. Jay Savage. Now,
Hey, glad to be here, man.
Jay is an awesome individual. I've met him on the wrestling scene, and just one cool cat in my book, that's for sure. You do micro wrestling, and pro wrestling and acting as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
What are some of the aspects of the business that you've come to love since starting?
Just wrestling in general. Man, I've always kind of loved wrestling, but let me see. Something that I fell in love with when I got into it is probably the hustle, man. Like, you don't realize how much, even in the beginning, like I started out ring announcing and managing, you don't realize just to get out there and get to know people and networking, you gotta get out there and make the shows, make your shows, make your shows. You don't squat there and, start, getting jobs ring announcing because you gotta know people. You gotta go here, you gotta go there. For a very little bit of money, you're spending money to fuel your hobby, especially at independent level. You know that. Doors gate a lot of the times, and when you're ring announcer or manager, sometimes you don't get paid. And I have it a lot of the time. So I'd say it was like eye-opening, but also humbling because I didn't care. At the same time, I was learning, I was getting experience, I was getting in front of a crowd. But yeah, the hustle, once I really got on the other side of the barricade, is something that kind of surprised me about wrestling, but I love it. And you know what I mean? Because it's like when you do something that you love, you're never really working. Which is why I kind of went full time with the traveling thing, and it hasn't always paid off, but I've got to experience a lot of really cool things in the time that I have been out full time, wrestling.
Have you been
So
local, like centralized to the East Coast, or have you gone all over the country?
oh man, so like when I started, it was basically just Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. That's when I was managing and just ring announcing. Once I got in with the midgets, that's when I started really traveling a lot more. So then I've been to Cali. I've been, I was in Texas for a whole month last year. Like I've been around now. There's probably maybe like a dozen states, including Hawaii and Alaska, like I haven't really been to, at least traveled to or through. Not saying I had a show where I wrestled in that state, but like, I've got like, 36, 37 states that I've been to, which is pretty cool. And I've been traveling about 5 years now. So that's like a lot, I think, in a short amount of time.
Yeah, man.
So like that's just like a lot of things I don't think about that I get to experience while I'm thinking about like the negative. Like I'm, benched right now because of wrestling, but there's definitely a lot of positives for wrestling.
Being wrestling with the midgets.
Yep.
How has that experience been for you? I mean, obviously.
I'll tell you, man, it's been like kind of like it's been a real experience from the beginning, from the day one, to just like being around other people like me. I had never really experienced like that. So like I kind of came out of my shell more. And for instance, I'll tell you, saying the M word used to be like a trigger for me, and now it's just another word. I kind of like, I say it, which is still kind of, I say it all the time now, and it's like odd to my sister even, because like it was just one of those trigger words my entire life, literally until about 2019 when I started touring full time with the midgets. It became a thing where I just said it, because the word midget, Hornswoggle always says the word midget makes me money, makes me more money in wrestling, so I'll be call me midget all you want. That's kind of the mindset I've adopted, but it used to set me off. It used to, like, because it was never a good, it was ah, midget, or they were using it to try and bring you down, or like, whatever. 9 times out of 10 when somebody said it. So that's definitely one of the different things from going from indie wrestling to traveling with other little people, and just being around them and seeing that like a lot of, eventually they're just like, they don't care. Like people are gonna say things no matter what. You gotta keep, you're gonna let it affect you and let it ruin your day or let it bring you down, or you're gonna keep on, keep it on, because people are gonna say stupid things regardless,
It's sad but true that people are that way.
And it really getting with the midgets, it made me like not take myself as serious as I used to, which I think is a good thing.
You start, but you being around other people that are very similar to you, man. Like you feel the comfort, like you feel it, like it's almost a family, like well, or
Yeah,
family now
man.
too. you know, it, which is probably something you've may or may not have struggled with throughout the years.
I mean, you know,
Before.
it's like it's exactly like you're saying. It's like a family. It's like we have our family with the indie wrestling, and it's like if you never experienced having like a second family, that's exactly what it's like. Like you're coming in, and
Yes.
it's like, okay, you're just your family. You know, everybody's got each other's back. You know, at least that's how it's supposed to be. But you know, people families fight, and it ain't no different. You know,
Yeah, wrestling's like one big dysfunctional family.
exactly.
And we get to fight. Like
Yeah.
we
Yep.
get to fight.
And we gotta just handle it in the ring. Let's go.
With like, do you mind if I say micro leagues or micro
Nah,
wrestling?
man, I don't care, man. You
All
can
right,
say
cool.
midget wrestling, man. I'll give you the M card.
Right on. Thank you, brother. You guys have guys and gals have worked in some of like the bar scenes and stuff like that because the ring is smaller. What is
Yeah,
some of
they.
the crazier stupid shit you've seen in that kind of environment?
Oh man. Okay, so first of all, man, you know this working in bars. You know, drunks are just like giant toddlers. So, man, there's any man, just so many different things. I'd say the worst time, okay. It wasn't a bar, but they were serving it, had a beer truck pulled up to the event. It was a, you know, like we have events where it's kids events where, you know, kids can come and stuff, and then we have 21 and up where they, you know, they're serving. That's a drawing factor to get people in the door, whether it's an event or a bar or whatever, which is why midget shows always draw because everybody wants to come get drunk. Then they see the midgets. So the worst thing that happened actually happened to me in Pennsylvania. The craziest thing was when I got to be a heel for the first time at Hollywood Savage. I didn't get to do it for a while because they really liked my face paint. My baby face character's over. Why would you want to do a different character? Yada yada. I finally got to do it. I really got on the mic and finally get to cut a promo, and I got heat. And so this crowd was hot, and they were wild and rowdy, and they pulled a freaking, like I said, a beer truck up to this event. So like everyone was drunk, and when my match came around after the heat that I got during my promo, a fan picked a trash can up from this ringside, threw it up over the top. Okay. I was locking up with my opponent, smacked me in the back of the head and him in the face. And this was in Lake Coneyatt, Pennsylvania, actually. So like closer to like Pittsburgh. Yeah. So that was like the
That's
most
crazy.
craziest thing with having to re like work around drunk people all the time, which is it's 9 times out of 10. It's rare on the midget circuit where you're wrestling at an event that they're at least not serving. It might not be a bar or a club, but they're at least serving, or it's a VFW, or you know, because that's really it goes hand in hand with the micro wrestling. You can do it without, you know, if you just draw it and you got a lot, you know, it's an area that, you know, they like kids events. They'll bring their kids. A lot of people bring their kids too. But if it's not, it's usually going to be at a bar or a club because it's easier. The people will come. Local watering hole, you know?
I know up in my area here, Reverb. They got the whole
Yeah.
different events there.
Yeah, they
And
were just
I
out there. The
yep.
crew that I travel with, Mike Wrestling All Stars, they were just there Wednesday night, I think.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Yep.
And
Yep.
I've known you
So,
guys to walk across the bar there and all kinds of stuff.
oh man, so did you check the show out or you just heard about it?
I've seen past shows there. I wasn't able to make this one, but where
Great.
they you guys walk across the bar and I mean, it's
Oh
really more
yeah.
of a firsthand experience than a barricade in front of you or sitting in it, sometimes just sitting in a folding chair.
Yeah, I like the reverb. It's really got like gives me like a good like NXT vibe. You know, it's kind of got that like, yeah, it's a nice club.
Like a club studio feel almost.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was thinking exactly like I was like, wow, that'd be a good place to shoot a little pay-per-view, you know? For sure.
Right on. Now I'd recently seen you were in a movie.
Yeah, my first movie actually came out. You know, I got like a legitimate movie. I got IMDb credits and all that. It's
Nice.
called Born Into a Dream.
Okay.
It's on like all your major streaming. It's on YouTube. You can watch the trailer, Prime, Vudu, and a handful of other like obscure streaming sites and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. It wasn't like a major movie production, but I got some experience. I got paid, and then you know, I really just got to get on set and see what it was like. It's something that I've been wanting to do, is take my acting to the next level. Besides, obviously, what we do in wrestling is basically considered combat theater, you know, to an extent. And then also you have, you know, I was a haunt actor, and that was really my only two things of acting. But, you know, just doing the acting that I do with these hobbies, I guess you should say, made me want to act more and made me want to get more involved in, like, I want to do like a movie, like a real movie. And now I did a movie, so now I want to do like another movie. You know what I mean? Now I got to star in a movie. So like the goal just changes and shifts. Yep, and you keep on.
But what kind of character did you play?
So I played Mitro the Mighty. He's basically a warrior, and these three gentlemen wake up and they're trapped in a dream, and they have issues going on in their real life that they have to come to terms with and battle and find the Book of Wisdom to escape the dream. And that's the premise of the movie, pretty much. It's a little corny and it's a drama, but it's definitely got its entertaining spots for like a little indie movie for sure.
Right on, right on. I'm definitely going to be checking it out for sure.
And it's got a bunch of midgets, man. Like, you don't see a bunch of midgets in a movie. It's got like a handful of midgets, you know. That's one thing I want to change, is like the representation of little people in Hollywood. It's not been very good for a long time. You can count them on one hand. And Mini-Me, you know, Vern Troyer, he's not here anymore. And he was probably one of the ones people would count, you know. So now really you got Peter Dinklage, and who else is acting that's a little person? Can you name another actor?
No, most of it, to be honest with you, most of it I see on like YouTube and stuff.
See, you know, man, and I want to.
It's like a stunt performer type stuff.
Or they're just spots. It's just like in wrestling, they're just using spots or like, you know, here and there, comedy relief. I want to change it, man. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of talented little people out there that have a lot to contribute, that could make some, tell some good stories on the screen, you know, just like in the ring.
Most definitely. Most definitely. That is something I can get a hunt back. 100% with. I mean, it's.
We got Oompa Loompas and what? What other, like, when are you gonna see?
There was a reality show, Big People or Little People, Big World.
Yeah. Yep.
On TLC for a while. But even it's sad that people make, you'll see like jokes and stuff like that being made on the internet, or like memes that the people put up, and you know, I feel that they're. Is way more talent that is not being tapped. I mean, great drama actors. I mean, everything's not a comedy show.
Right.
You know, it can go way deeper instead of just being on that surface level.
Yep. And I don't think there's been a movie that I can remember where it's like the lead was a little person. Like, I can't think of, like, you know what I mean? I can't think of any. So like, that's like a huge goal of mine. I want to do that and like maybe break down the barrier. And once I get in there, I have tons of friends that are midget wrestlers who would be also interested. Once it's kind of like, you got to blaze the trail first and show them that it can be done. Cause right now I'm kind of in that period of, oh, Savage is crazy. He should just stick to wrestling. Like, why is he trying to go into Hollywood and do all this other stuff? But, you know, I got a bigger plan. Yeah, exactly, man. You gotta shoot. They say shoot for the moon. I say forget the moon. We're shooting for Mars. If we miss, we're gonna land among the stars. You know what I mean? Hey, like,
my man. I like that saying right there.
Right.
What's up, Sean? Saying what's up to my son real fast in the background there.
Don't forget to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations for all your artistic needs. Looking for a special occasion for a friend, family, or loved one. Be sure to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations on all social media and her website on BigCartel.com. That is Nelly's Artistic Creations. And with the holiday season coming up, a nice piece of art will always cheer the soul.
Who was an inspiration to you?
So, who is an inspiration for wrestling?
Anything in life. I mean, it doesn't have to be wrestling.
Okay, so I'll give you a couple of my biggest inspirations. First of all, Arnold Schwarzenegger. One of my biggest inspirations for why I want to work out, why I want to also get into breaking the movies, because he was different. He wasn't your typical, you know, actor. He had a weird accent. People didn't want to book him at first, which is look at me. I'm not even your typical midget. They're not even going to give me a chance because, like, he's not recognizable. Like, you know what the little person build is like. And I feel like I have that hurdle, just like Arnold had that hurdle. So I really resonate with him. One of the biggest inspirations, you know, for working out. Okay. And then, of course, when it comes to wrestling, you got Jeff Hardy. Some of my earliest inspirations were the Macho Man. Yeah, obviously. It's why I picked Savage.
You know it.
Why I picked Savage. He was just such a character and just, like, you know, entertaining always. So Hulk Hogan and Macho Man were my first two biggest inspirations in wrestling when I was really young. And then moving over to, like, the Attitude Era, then became like Stone Cold, The Undertaker, DX, The Hardys. Those were my favorite. That was probably my favorite five for, like, most of elementary school. And then Jeff Hardy is one of my hugest inspirations to want to actually do it. Because I remember watching, like, the video when I was in elementary school, one of the Hardy Boys DVDs, and they talked about that they did backyard wrestling. And it's like, well, they couldn't afford a wrestling ring, but they had a trampoline. And so, like, I literally, when I was 12 or 13, started just trampoline wrestling. And that's how I started wrestling, doing backyard wrestling for way too long with my friends before I got into the real deal, you know.
I remember growing up with my brother. I mean, he would always try to give me the perfect plex.
Yeah.
No matter where it was, he would always try to give me the perfect plex. Oh, man, I think it's my might have some screws loose from taking it in places I probably shouldn't. I think he got me on the sidewalk one time. I was like, you son of a...
Ooh.
Yeah, that was brutal. But, you know, brothers, young and dumb, right?
Yeah.
At least when you're kids, you know.
Yeah, you gotta do it while you're young. Get it out of the way.
That's
right?
Why they say don't try this at home.
Yep. No doubt.
Oh, man. So you've been doing a lot of dieting lately. I know me and you have chatted about that.
Yes, I've been. That's one of the things. Like, I've always personally had a good habit of, like, liking to work out. You know what I mean? It's always been my favorite stress relief, and especially getting sober. You know, you got to have the extra stress relief. But diet was one thing that I had been slacking on, and I still do. I eat ice cream. I'm a fat kid at heart, a former fat kid. So, like, I have a hard time with sweets. But, like, yeah, I've been trying to, like, work on my – eat more salads, just drink more water, less sugary drinks. And, you know, it's a process. You got to be kind to yourself in that process and just – you know, take little small changes and keep on keeping on.
All right. So for people that are tune in or are going to watch this later, I'm trying to think how I want to put this. How long do you think it would take for them to feel the changes after starting a process like that? Because I know some people, like, they lose hope within a few days.
Well, see, here's the thing, man. People don't realize a lot of the reasons why you might feel crappy is probably you're eating garbage, you're eating junk, a lot of processed food. It's got additives, it's got stuff that's literally been proven to lead to depression. And, you know, just, it's not good for your gut bacteria and all this other stuff, which has been shown to link to mental health and just anxiety. And just, you know, you ever just eat like crap, and it might've been a good meal, but then the next thing is, I feel like crap, man.
Yeah.
Eat crap, you feel like crap. You know, your body's a machine. What you put in, it puts out. Whether that's with energy or food or what are you going to get done today? You know? So
I noticed for me personally, when I was younger, I would like, the quickest thing in the world was to get a donut, you know,
of course,
or
man.
A Pop-Tart or something like that. And it just, I could feel how my ass was fucking dragging through the day because of it.
Like, yeah, man.
Yeah. But every time I started off with, like, a healthy breakfast, you know, oatmeal, something like that, the energy was so much different. So, yeah,
you got to start just making small changes, because, like, I personally don't like adopting a whole new diet, because I feel like it's almost like you're setting yourself up for failure, because it's like, oh, this is too much, and that's what you do. It's like, I can't keep doing this anymore. I like making small changes, even now. Like, if my diet's not perfect, I'll just, okay, I'll eat a little bit less of this and a little bit more of that. You know, okay, I had a salad this week. That's a win. You know, I made a resolution that I didn't stick with, because, you know, nobody's perfect. I want to eat three salads a week. Doesn't sound like a hard thing, but when you actually, like, try, like, man, I'm not always in that mood for salad, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so it's almost like the same flavors, you're just tasting it.
Yeah.
You know, but with that junk food, though, you could, if given, you could easily adapt to it and say, oh man, this stuff's great, and at the same time not get sick of it, but it just becomes your routine.
I'll tell you what, man, people don't. They really underestimate how addictive sugar is. Like, they, you ever see that meme where it's like sugar is like 10 times more addictive than cocaine, and people laugh at it, but it's true. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at the country. Look at America, man. Look at the world. People love sugar, and look at their coffee. They got it right there to coffee every day. You're getting that sugar. Everybody's drinking coffee. You know, so they
What do you
it's
think
in
for it?
everything.
What do you think's worse, high fructose corn syrup or sugar?
Oh man. I'd say both, but probably a high fructose corn syrup is worse. At least sugar is, you know, more natural. At least it's come from cane sugar. It's still better than high fructose corn syrup. Neither one of them is too good for you. You know, if you're gonna have sugar, you know, there's ways to get it. If you got a sweet tooth, eat some fruit, you know, find stuff you like and that you're gonna actually stick with. You know, don't try and adopt a diet or a, you know, a lifestyle. If you're not, if there's a lot of, you know, keto sounds cool. So and so had a good, you know, experience with keto, but you don't really like any of the keto options, you're probably not going to stick with that. You know what I mean? You got to find what works for you at end with anything in getting in shape, fitness, diet. Find what works for you and something that you're going to actually do, and don't make it unrealistic. You know, with whatever your goals are. You
Yeah.
know.
My dad, when I was growing up, he was about 350 pounds, and he
Oh wow.
decided he was gonna, yeah, he decided I'm gonna lose the weight. So he started counting calories. He had a book and he had a scale and he weighed everything out and he portioned everything out. He
It
got,
works
and
wonders, man.
it was kind of scary though, because like I'd say in about a month and a half, he dropped down almost to 190.
Wow.
Because of, it
That's
was
some
insane.
serious. That's some
But
serious loss quick.
but I was a kid, so it could have been a little bit longer, maybe 3 months at most. But it was a serious drop.
Wow. It
I was in
once you start just taking a that's a huge one right there. But once you start
yes.
doing like one or two different things differently, like every day, and that's what he was doing. He was watching it every day, and it's it. People just don't pay attention to how many calories they eat. I don't count calories. I know that it's good to see. That's another thing. Like my diet could be better if I counted calories, and I just, you know, made sure. Sometimes I don't eat enough calories. You know what I mean? So I'm just not hungry. You know.
I was thinking to myself, like 300 plus down to that low. I mean, again, I was younger, so the timeline could be a little wonky, but it was an insane drop in weight. And I know it was a short period of time.
It's crazy, man.
Height
It
block.
shows you like what's possible, really. Like, you know, put his
Every
mind to
day.
it, and then he made his changes.
Yep, every day he'd get up and
Heck
walk or
yeah.
go take a hike or something, and he just counted them calories. I mean, he, let me be real, he was miserable during that time. I mean, he was not a happy camper.
Oh yeah,
But
of course.
yeah, when he came through it, he was, much better in the end.
No doubt.
So what are your shows that you have coming up once you're able to get back? Because like you said, you're out right now with injury.
Yeah, man. This breaking my leg was pretty terrible because it was such a complex. I mean, it's never good, but just like how it broke, the timing. It was like the night before Christmas Eve. Like I was supposed to be home. I don't know when my next show is because I don't know when I'm gonna even be ring ready, but so what I'm thinking is when I do go back, I might try like ring announcing and, you know, just do that for a little while until I feel like I'm good. Because the last thing I want to do is go in there when I'm not gonna be 100%. Let's say back to 90, and I'm ready to step in there and I feel like I can go out there and put on a good show, and I can go, and I'm not gonna risk hurting myself or my opponent or putting on a bad match. I don't know when that time's gonna be because I don't feel real confident in the fact that you know, like it's been a month, I'm still not walking. I'm in physical therapy, I'm still dealing with a lot of pain. Like I said, trying to keep my head up, but at the same time, it's like the future's unclear for my in-ring future. I will always be a part of wrestling no matter what, no matter if Hollywood comes calling or what. I will still be making the shows, I will still be coming out. You know what I mean? It's not like I wouldn't still do that, but at the same time, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to go. And if I can't be at least close to the same caliber that I was, I don't know if it's worth it for me to go out there and, you know, put myself at any more risk of messing my leg up to not to put on a subpar performance in my eyes, you know.
Yeah, man, that's respectful.
It's rough, man. It's heavy stuff, heavy stuff. But
Yeah.
just gotta stay positive, man. That's life. They say, the big guy gives his hardest battles to the strongest warriors, and I'm just keep on fighting, man.
That's all we
They
can
got
do, right?
they gotta stand a nine count and get back up.
So we were talking earlier about Hollywood. Or have you ever thought about doing screenwriting, like writing your own scripts?
So I have thought about that because I have a couple ideas for some movies and stuff, and that's one of the things, and I'm like looking into like how to break into acting and stuff is like how to land roles is just write your own movies here, you know what I mean? Like write and shoot your own short films. And I do like learning both sides, like behind the camera, in front of the camera. Like I loved learning when I was in Texas shooting for Born Into a Dream, like on set just watching the director. Damien Chazelle watching everything he did. Like, why are you doing this that way, man? What do you mean? What's this blocking? Oh, it's so you're setting the scene up beforehand. Oh, that's really cool. It's interesting. It's just like I absorb that stuff like a sponge because it's interesting to me. And yeah, man, I definitely wanna start writing. And I actually got a little like a good mechanical keyboard that kind of looks like an old school typewriter
Nice.
to actually do some writing. I have a,
Trying to give
like I
that
said.
Stephen King effect.
Yeah, man, it's just like I don't know. This I get that ASMR tick, click, click, click. Like I like it. And I was like, well, if I'm gonna write, I gotta get a nice keyboard because that's gonna give me a little bit more incentive to want to write. So, yeah, man, that's it's kind of funny you brought that up. I think that there should be a midget superhero because there's never been a midget superhero, so I'm writing my own midget superhero
Yes.
movie. And it's just gonna be like a mockumentary style movie based loosely off of myself, Jay Savage, the wrestler who. Gets bit by a spider one day skateboarding and thinks that he's gonna be the next Spider-Man. I'm gonna be the first midget superhero, the first midget Spider-Man. Look, come on, man. You're telling me it can't be
Dude,
possible? The Spider-Verse has opened up. You're telling me there's not a midget one out there? Come on
yes. You need to make this happen. You need to make
Hey.
this happen.
I'm trying,
Got
bro. I
my
just gotta
money.
get in front of the gotta get in front of the right people.
I just start writing down the ideas and then just making short clips or whatever, and just honing it,
Yeah,
making it
man.
that perfect ultimate Hollywood promo for yourself. Slapping it down to him.
Yeah, buddy.
You said Jeff Hardy was your one of your inspirations.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel what's going on with him these days?
I mean, so like not just like as a wrestler, just as a person, I've seen that he's hit a year sober and he's on a better stretch than he was in the past. So that makes me really, really happy. How he's being used at AEW and his decision to go there. Personally, I feel like he would have been better off with WWE. They weren't using him that well, but I feel like they're just a little bit more reckless over there. And for his age and what he's got left, I would have liked to seen him in the E with going one on one against Rollins with a singles title run, whether they gave him one more belt, I think the fans would have loved it. I think it would have been money for merchandise and all that. But he wanted to be with his brother, and I can resonate with that, doing what makes you happy as a person. So I respect that. I think that they're kind of not that happy over there, and they want to go back and end with the WWE. But I'm just glad to see him still doing it, and I'm actually learning, watching as he's doing certain things to work a little safer. So I'm still watching and still learning from the man because now, especially with another injury like a torn ACL before this, I'm gonna have to really adapt for if and when I get it back in there. You know what I mean? So, yep, still watching. But yeah, I'm just glad to see him still doing it, man. Seeing that he's still in good health for all the crazy stuff that he's, all the crazy moments that he's given us and like all the stuff that he's been through. Like he's still kicking.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What do
So
you think? What do you think?
what do I think of him?
Yeah, his current career.
His current career, I think it's catching up to him. I really do. He has had a long road of several injuries, like we were talking about. So for that aspect there, I mean, he maybe if he changes up his style instead of
It's
doing the
getting
high
it, it,
flying.
yeah, it's getting to be the kind of like the last couple years, The Undertaker was still out there. It's like, man, like you like seeing him, but you don't like seeing him like this. Like, man, maybe you should just finish it out, have a good run. But yeah, it's just it does suck when you see, your heroes you watched when you were young. You look at
But
Ric
here's
Flair, man. He just had that Ric Flair's last match, man. He almost died. Like,
the
that's wrestlers, man. They don't know when to quit, they just keep on coming back. Like,
Here's a possible theory I have for a retirement for Jeff. Since Edge and Christian are both in AEW, maybe if they work out a deal with TNA and somehow at least one of the Dudleys gets involved.
oh man,
It,
that would be wild. I hadn't even thought about that, but that would be wild.
It kind of gets put to the back burner because all the different storylines going on and stuff like that. But I think that would be a nice re retirement match for him, however it would turn out.
Oh man, I mean, and even if, say, they weren't going to come back to WWE, even if they could do it, they have the option to do it with just Edge and Christian. That would be a good send off. I think Edge and Christian seem like they still got more in the tank. Christian seems like he's looking good. Out of all the guys that are still going to the stage, they've been going for the last 20 plus years, Christian's looking, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie, Edge is looking a little rough, but hey, these guys are getting old. They've been beating up their bodies for a long time.
Yeah,
Like,
I think what
you
Christian is, like the last few years, he's been more of the mic man than anything, wrestling
he's
less
but
than
he's but
in.
you know what, man, he's smart. I think it really self preserving his body, you know what I mean? Like,
Oh, without a doubt, without a
he's
doubt.
he
He
hasn't taken it.
doesn't
He's
look of
stayed,
the
he's
age.
stayed, he's done some crazy stuff too, but not nearly as, like, he's like, maybe just one crazy spot, instead of two or three like the other guys. So
Did you get to see the WrestleMania kickoff show?
the no, that I did not, but I seen all the highlights and all the clips. I love it, man. I hope that they can keep it going with The Rock as a bad guy, and they don't turn on him at wrestling. Whatever they're doing, he's either going to be the special guest referee, he's going to be in that match. I don't know what they're doing yet. Either way, it's going to be a question mark to, is he going to help Roman, or is he going to really screw Cody, or is it going to be at the last minute they switch it? Because that's why they're going to tune in, and that's why they got him. Hook.
Either direction it's going here. I think it's probably one of the best business things they got going right now. The
Oh
switch up at
yeah,
the
no
end, they
doubt.
got the people behind them. It's almost like this yes movement type thing with Cody.
Dude,
And
it was so smart, because they made the people that thought Cody wasn't gonna get a shot, they pissed him off, and WWE fans, wrestling fans in general, are very opinionated, and they will tell you. So it was a talking piece, and they got everybody that got mad, they got you. They played you all, you got worked, hook, line, and sinker. I'm not gonna tune in to WrestleMania. Come on now, get it for $5.99. Yes, you are. Quit playing me.
And I think it was a great move too, because especially with the Vince stuff going on, it was a good way to
Oh
kind of push
yeah.
that to the side and get a better talking point about him.
I mean, it was kind of perfect, the timing, because they needed that. They really did. Because I mean, Vince isn't even with the company anymore, like running it day to day. He's not sitting back there in Gorilla, nothing like that, but he's just linked with the WWE, so anything with him is not going to be good for them, in publicity wise. So it's good that they had that to kind of,
So the
look over here, look over here, don't look over there.
yeah, because there's well, you have that, then Lesnar, I guess, was whatever was going on with the text message there
Which is
and
really
stuff. It,
odd, the whole Lesnar
yeah.
stuff. Like,
Yeah, and like him
you don't
being
know, you don't know,
erased.
man.
Yeah, some things you just don't want to get wrapped up into. You just go, you know what?
Yeah,
That's that
no
that's
doubt.
kinda that's kinda that's a rabbit hole. But
Yeah.
so do you think Shane's gonna come back?
I don't know. He hasn't really had like much of a role in WWE that I known that they would need him, that he could come back and fill a spot and actually be useful, other than just using his name as being a McMahon, which I don't think is a very good, thing to be throwing around right now. So I think it wouldn't be a good idea for him to come back right this minute, at least until, because then they're gonna, oh, Shane McMahon, oh yeah, that reminds me of the Vince McMahon stuff, you know what I mean? They probably don't want him around for a little while. But I don't know. I don't know exactly know what his role was when he did have like a upper job in the company. But if he wants to come back and have like another match or a moment, as long as he doesn't get hurt, I'd be cool with that. I like Shane McMahon, man. You know, like he goes out there and he didn't have to, but he goes out there and he tries it and he's out there and fights and does his thing. And I'm sure he's had plenty of training. He's done it the right way. He wasn't just, oh, it's Vince's kid. He's out here throwing him in a ring. I'm sure he's got broke in. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So always like seeing Shane. It's always like, it's always entertaining when he shoots up at WrestleMania, you know, no matter what he's doing. So.
Do you think with TKO now owning both UFC and WWE that they're going to like start cross promoting a lot of stuff?
Man, I don't know. There's definitely a potential for it, but I don't know how they would, other than like trying to utilize some of the UFC legends as color commentators and maybe trying to see if any of those guys that actually can scrap, actually can shoot on the roster, want to go and try their hand, like giving them a bridge, like, okay, here's your chance. You know, do you want to go out here and do kind of like what Punk did and just take a chance at it? Because a lot of the times, unless you train for years and years in a dojo and you have done competitions, you don't get a chance to just get out there on that stage of the UFC, right? You got to hone your craft for years and work up the ranks and Ultimate Fighter. But there's some dudes on the WWE that aren't just pretend tough guys. They're real tough guys, and they could actually go out there with some of those guys. You know, like, I mean, they had Matt Riddle. They had Brock Lesnar, who started with pro wrestling and went and made a huge name for himself. I don't know, man. So, like, they got some real scrappers if they wanted to send some people over and just kind of see what can we do. Let's make up some, like, matchups that would be – make some money, because that's what they're trying to do at the end of the day. So it's gotta make dollars. It makes sense. Interesting. It's a very interesting time to be a wrestling fan, man, with everything going on.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think that was the last few years since, you know, AEW hit the scene. We're starting to see more of the Japanese wrestlers come to the U.S. too for different things. Like, we're seeing so much different stuff going on. Yep. And then WWE as well, like, on the backside, like, you have all the allegations and all that shit.
Yep. At the same time, WWE's going in a different direction, and it seems like they're becoming bigger in a different way. I think there's going to be like after WrestleMania, there's going to be something bigger. Like, okay, well, this is how they're going to get out in front of a lot more eyeballs, and like, it's just going to shock everybody. I feel like something's coming with WWE with this TKO thing. Like, they're good. It's got to have some kind of result other than, okay, this company owns both of these two companies, which are combat sports. There's got to be something coming from it. They've got to make some money on it, or at least tease Lashley getting back in the cage, or Lashley versus Lesnar as a celebrity fight on the UFC card. Like, they ain't the same weight. They'd probably be the same weight class, unless Lesnar's a super heavyweight. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that they could do, you know?
I almost felt with the WrestleMania kickoff, it had that UFC kind of
press release tension. Type vibe, like big
press release tension.
Yeah, man, that's what I got from it, from all the stuff I've seen of it.
Almost like they were testing the waters with it, like, you know, let's see if this is how the fans are going to react to this. Like, that was a definite in the moment kind of thing to make a business decision.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's just make some waves.
Yes, yes. And it worked. It worked beautifully, because that's all I see everywhere now. And the crazy part is Sting is retiring soon, and you don't hear much about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because of all the WWE stuff. It's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
So, Sting, what do you think of him these days? I mean, honestly, I got to give the man credit. He's taking those high bumps, or just going for it.
Another one that's saying, you're like, I love to see him out here. They're still doing it, as long as he can do it safely. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my biggest inspirations that I didn't really say. I was more of a WWF kid, you know? But when I did tune in, it was to see Wolfpack, Macho Man, Sting over on WCW. One of the big reasons why I paint my face is because of Sting. I had a Sting mask when I was in like elementary school. I had it on my wall and I had it forever, you know, a little acrylic, little face mask with this. Yeah. And I had a little bat and everything, man. So I love Sting. And the fact that he just came back at such a late age and he started going, You know what I mean? And yeah, I just seen the Stinger splash off the, he jumped off the, he was out in the arena. I don't know if you seen Dynamite the other night. The main event.
I think I missed it. No, I missed it.
Yeah.
Was it the one against the Bucks?
Or not the Bucks? No, it was
the Bucks came at the end.
No, Sting and Darby Allin won the tag belts.
Yeah, but didn't the Bucks come out at the end or something like that?
Oh yeah, yeah, they came out and they shut everything down. Yeah, but during the match, Sting, he did like a dive out, like you know, like through the out in the crowd. You know when you're going up the towards the nosebleeds. Yep. And you got the stairs, and then they got the entrance that goes kind of under the stairs.
Right down through it, yep.
Yep, he did that. He did a big splash off of there on everybody. I was like, man, nice. This dude is like in his late 60s, and he's still going out here pulling off this type of stuff. Like, it's crazy.
Just like, he wants
to go. Time to be a wrestling fan, man. Seriously, like,
yes.
You know, there's, like, you could tune in to see Sting, like, still going at it right now. The Rock and Sting are on TV, you know. Weekly, yep. Right now, like, it's crazy.
Who'd have thought?
2024.
What's gonna be next? Who do you think is gonna come back next?
Oh man, I don't know. There's a lot of people that haven't been around for a while, but I think somebody that I would like to see come back would probably be Braun Strowman, because there's not a lot of big guys. They got Omos, and then who else? They don't really have a lot of big guys. They got Big Cass or Big Bill in AEW, but they don't even really have like big guys, you know?
Yeah.
Big Show. Other than that, you can count them. There's not a whole lot of them. I always liked Braun Strowman. I don't know. I don't know who else to add to the mix that's not in it right now.
Honestly,
CM Punk sucks. He got injured right away. That sucks. But
I'd like to see one cameo appearance by Gerald Briscoe somewhere in there.
Oh, that would be cool, man.
Well, he's still alive. Just anywhere.
Yeah.
Just a resurgence, back in the ring for a moment.
Right.
So, shit. All right, Jim Cornette. Some people like him, some people don't.
Oh, man. This is a hot question. I might lose some fans here. I'm pro Jim Cornette. Corny's my dude. I love Jim Cornette, man. I know he talks crap about a lot of my favorite wrestlers, you know. But you got to be able to appreciate the knowledge that this man is spitting every time. Whether he's every video that he posts, he's giving you some piece of knowledge in there. But if you're too stubborn because you don't like him or you don't like what he says, you ain't gonna be able to get that information, because you're gonna why would I listen to him? You know, he's a jerk, or he said this about my favorite wrestler, or he doesn't like AEW. I love AEW. Like, it's funny. He reviews both and he talks crap about both, and I love it because I'm sitting there laughing at some of the stuff he says, and that makes the information stick. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, one of the things is like, you know, with AEW, he's like, oh yeah, the house is on fire, but dinner smells great. Like, I love that. Yeah. You know, like, they're not focused. It's a good expression for, like, you're not focusing on you're only focusing on this, but this is not, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's like, like, well, okay, they're doing that, but how am I, you know what I mean, like, doing the same thing? And I try and apply it to wrestling, and like, just, you know, he's got a lot of knowledge, man, and he definitely knows how to get under people's skin and stir the pot. So,
oh man, you're telling me, like, honestly, growing up as a kid, I hated that man just because I thought he came off like a pompous ass.
Oh yeah, man,
I absolutely hated him, and so I think it was probably around 17, 18. When I started realizing about him, like, how he worked and like what he would do, like, it was just amazing.
Yeah, man. And you pretty okay. Yeah, he was supposed to piss me off. Like, when you kind of like clicks, like, oh, he's okay, and then you like, you respect it.
Yeah,
dude. Honestly, like I agree with you. I didn't like Cornette. Like, oh man, he's just a dick. Like, when I was younger, as a fan, I was still seeing it through the goggles of just a fan. It was like, oh, this guy's just a dick, man. Like,
Hey guys, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition If you like all things podcasts and different kind of unique interviews, definitely check those guys out. Another podcast to check out is the Three Beards of Wrestling. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, all kinds of wrestling talk, definitely check out the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. That is my shameless promos for the rest of this episode, so enjoy the rest.
And exactly. It's like, wow, you really appreciate everything. Yes. He does has a purpose. You know what I mean? He's out there. He's getting an attention. He's adding to a match. He's not just out there to be out there. His spot matters. And you realize, like, this dude's smart. Like, you know?
It could have been a mediocre wrestling match, but him on the mic pissing people off or doing something could have made that 10 times more better, and you just didn't realize.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that because you were so focused on the wrestlers instead of him because he annoyed the shit out of you.
Exactly. And you know what? And he's like Jerry DeKangelo in a lot of ways like that. Mm-hmm. I say when he's on commentary, because if something happens in a match and you're paying attention, that you're getting entertained with what's going on in the ring and on commentary, which mm-hmm. I love color commentaries wise. Well, I got this microphone here. My dream when I broke into wrestling wasn't even to wrestle. It was I wanted to be the first little person color commentator on Monday Night Raw.
Hell yeah.
Because Jerry King Lawler, and like I said, him and Jim Cornette, they're like two of the same, you know, when it comes to that. Like on the microphone, on commentary, whether it's, you know, being a manager or whatever it may be.
Who's your top commentator all around?
Oh, it's got to be Jerry King Lawler, you know what I mean? I grew up with most of my, like, knowing Jerry King Lawler was he was a commentator. It wasn't until a little later I went back and started watching like a lot of stuff where he was wrestling actively, you know, mm-hmm. The mid-late 90s when I was like really young and really started getting into wrestling. He was on commentary, but he was always killing it. He was always saying mm-hmm. something funny. He was always talking about the honeys, and he always like made you laugh. So that's why I love Jerry King Lawler. He made me want to be like, sit there, and I would, if it was an episode or something I already seen, then I would turn it down and I would sit there and just do commentary like I'm Jerry King Lawler, and I would try and say outlandish, even more outlandish stuff than he would say, you know. Yes.
For me, I think it was Joey Styles.
Joey Styles? Oh man, he's a great commentator.
Because he could do a whole show from beginning to end by himself. And I personally respect that, because that can be tough to keep that attention just as one person without that extra entertainment factor.
Yeah, man. Takes a lot of energy. Everything is on you. You're the voice.
Yep.
No doubt.
So, what's your take on Paul Heyman?
Dude, you gotta have respect for the wise man, bro. Mm-hmm. He's great at his job still at this day, man. He gets under people's skin, and he's just like Jim Cornette, you know, in a way, Swiss Army knife. He's not just a mouthpiece. He's a manager. He can help with the match. He'll produce the match. Him being there is helping the WWE. He's getting paid for more than just a face or a character. He's got a lot to contribute to wrestling still. And I love that he's still out there. I'm excited to see where he's going to go after the tribal chief thing, but he's helped Roman Reigns finally get over after over 10 years. Paul Heyman has helped Roman Reigns get over with the fans as a bad guy. If they turned him good, they would be behind him. They didn't used to always like Roman Reigns.
There was that period.
people almost forget now, but it was like a thing. Like they were like, when people didn't like John Cena, it was like that bad. Like
for me during the Cena era, I think a lot of things, it was just too repetitive for me.
Yeah. Because he was like starting in your face every week, it was like another, I get that.
I respected what he was doing 100%. If it's good for business, I mean, if you're going to do what's good for business, hands down. Just for me, I was getting a little bored with Cena after a while. No offense to the guy.
Of course, and you got to think it's the guy that was running the show that happens to like big muscle guys, and this big muscle guy happened to be just really good at his job, so he's keeping that spot. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, a lot of that was Vince. I feel like he could have let Cena go to the mid card and maybe do some things, even if it was like a unique tag team and give somebody else that spot. Cause you're right, man. Like Cena did dominate. Like he was in the main event. You got tired of tuning in. I totally understand why the hate Cena movement came, because they were like throwing him down your throat every week. So whether you liked him or not, people were turning on him. So
yeah, I think timing in the show.
How can we miss you if you don't go away? Right.
Yes, like, and I think timing in the show too. Like his spots were almost seemed repetitive too. Like it wasn't scheduled, at least for me. I felt like, you know, I know it sounds weird saying that, but in a business aspect, like I would do that. I would make it repetitive. I would make it, because if you put things on repeat, people are more in tune to remember it somehow, some way. Even if they're not happy with it, they're still remembering it.
True, true. You gotta have some consistency, but then you also gotta shake things up, man.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm for. Give it. You gotta shake it up. But I mean, I understand that business aspect, but personally, like I said, you got to shake it up.
Yep. Well, at least we know Vince is in the captain's chair, and there's going to be some ideas that are going to be, you know, heard. Like I think before, a lot of guys probably were just afraid to even go with a good idea they had to Vince, because if you're going to get their head chewed off. But Triple H in charge, I feel like there's a lot of different stuff's going to happen. And it's not just going to be one person's mind shutting down all the ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the way WWE was stale for a long time. That's why AEW was able to do as well as it was as an alternative, you know?
Well, with this upcoming pay-per-view in Perth, is this the first time they're in Australia for a pay-per-view and the Elimination Chamber coming back?
Yeah, for a pay-per-view, because they usually stay local for pay-per-views, mm-hmm. unless it's a big deal. They started really with the big televised events with – like the crown jewels and whatnot going to Arabia. And if they did one, like the one before the one in the UK, it was like 20 some years since they've done a televised event
mm-hmm.
like that. So it was like an in your house pay-per-view from the early 90s or whatever. So yeah, it's kind of cool that's what I'm saying. They're onto something bigger. Now they're breaking into like doing pay-per-views in other countries regularly, mm-hmm. like something, you know, they're really taking over the globe. As much as AEW fans want to say that AEW's catching up, WWE is light years ahead, and they're doing.
They're always going to be. They're always going to be. I mean, they like. I think AEW is a seed that we watch grow. WWE is already that big redwood that was established.
Of course, that's why it's like it's an alternative. You know what I mean? It's not supposed to be direct competition, as much as you know people want it to be. If it was, they'd be on Monday nights at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I think every promotion is to have their own goal. Instead of, yes, competition's always good, but instead mm-hmm. of going back and forth with it, just make whatever product you have the best it can be.
Yes,
to the most
focus on your product. And you know, man, in wrestling, this is something that happens, especially in micro wrestling. I see it a lot because the tribalism mm-hmm. is even worse there. But indie wrestling, a lot of these local promotions, you know. You're too busy trying to tear the other ones down or talking crap about the other promotions instead of focusing on making their show better. They're like, there's two ways to have the biggest mm-hmm. building in town. You can either focus on building your bricks up, or you can go and tear the other building down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of times, especially the AEW fans, they're more worried about trying to talk crap about WWE instead of being happy with the product that they have and being like, you know. You're talking more about the hate, more about than the positives about what is actually going on at AEW. You know?
Yeah. And AEW is weird in a sense because you see like Wembley sold out. Backstage side, they're having trouble with keeping people in the seats or getting people in.
And I don't understand that, because it seems like if it's drawing here, you should be over there, you should be drawing at home.
Yeah,
like it's like you would think that they would want to make sure they're drawing at home before they try and draw out like that. But maybe they have a bigger global reach than they do a local, because a lot of the local people are going to the WWE shows only, and that's just mm-hmm. who knows, man. I don't know. It is odd. It is peculiar, because you know they have the money for the marketing to make sure people in that town know that they're coming and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know they're doing radio and TV ads. So like, why aren't their shows drawn? I really don't know what the issue is.
Do you think it's the arena clause that WWE has, that any place WWE is at, AEW or any other company cannot go for a while?
I mean, I know that they have contracts like that with certain places, just like loyalty contracts, but I don't think it does, because it's like they're gonna have to run be running the same arenas, right? Like, there's only so many arenas, but they got the show book, they have the arena, the people just didn't make it. They have the viewers, obviously. It's not like they're having to cancel Dynamite, so they're keeping viewers number, the TV stations want to keep the show. There's people interested. Why are the people not coming? Like the arena is filled at a WWE show and people know they're coming to town. There's something missing there. I don't know what it is, but I don't know.
Because I watching it on TV, I mean, I'm entertained. I
Yeah,
wouldn't
man.
mind seeing it.
And I feel like even if it's not my opinion, it's like how I would have booked that show. The matches were still good because you still got the phenomenal talent going out there putting on a show, no matter how they're used. Like, they're still putting on a good show. You're still getting some good wrestling, whether you like it or you don't like it. And so, like, how are they? I don't really understand. When I've seen that video, that picture of Edge with the empty arena behind him on the not TV side, I'm like, an Edge, you have a name that's been in wrestling for years. Well, you're not using that name, but Adam Copeland, still, they know. You expect, like, okay, the arena's gonna be filled. Like, nostalgia usually against wrestling fans, but and AEW has a lot of the old school wrestling. They got Big Show, got Sting, got Mark Henry over there, just to have them. And it's like, I don't know, they still can't draw their buildings out. I don't know. It's weird. It's peculiar, man. It really is.
I've been trying to figure that out for the last few months. It's just something just doesn't seem right with it. It's got to be marketing.
Because I don't see like them like having a dip in popularity or anything. I think they're still running. Like I said, their numbers are good, the ratings are all right. Doesn't make sense.
They just gave the fans a video game.
Yeah, they finally got to Fight Forever. Yep,
Yeah, so
that's
that
pretty
helped.
cool.
That helps. And then, but now WWE has 2K24 with 40 years now on it, which has like over 200 wrestlers right away, and like all these crazy matches, and you take these storylines. It
No
was
doubt.
like one up like 6 months later.
Heck yeah.
Wow. But I think AEW is on the right path though, in the gaming sense. Like, I think if they go more of an arcade style with it, that'll help in that marketing aspect. So,
And I mean, how simple would it be to put an 8-bit game together? It probably wouldn't be that hard.
no.
You wouldn't need nearly as much 3D mapping to get people, like, you'd just be very basic. You could probably do it off of a picture, and nowadays put it into there, generate it as a character, boom, make it
There
happen.
was
Dude,
that.
just use use it, you reskin like a Mortal Kombat or something, or a Street Fighter, and just let it, you know what I mean?
What was it? Fire Pro Wrestling kind of did that. It was like the old
Yeah,
school
yep, it's got that
feel to
old
it,
vibe. Yeah.
just to keep it fresh in the meantime. All right, so if you were running WWE right now, if you had the power to be, how would you run it? Like, just storyline, all that.
Let's see. I mean, I think they're doing a pretty good job, but like, if I was to say play like general manager mode, within the next couple months, I would probably try making NXT a little bit more special. I liked how they were bringing the older stars down there to elevate the younger guys. I think they should do more of that. Like when they had, I know it was that 1 week that when Cena was down there and then Punk was down there when he came back. Like, I like seeing that type of stuff because I think a lot of the NXT people, until they become on the main roster, even though they're on TV now, so on USA every week, a lot of the, like, I'll give you an example. If I'm watching wrestling with my dad and the NXT guy comes up, it's just gets caught up. He doesn't not has no clue who this guy is. Like, who the hell is this guy? And I think a lot of people, older, modern, just casual fans, they don't really know the NXT crowd as much. And I think that's something that they could work on, integrating it if it's going to be a third brand and not just developmental, which is what they're kind of trying to make it. I'd like to see them do a little bit more with that. And I don't know. It's kind of just been like an awkward third brand-ish developmental. It's, ever since Vince changed it and then they rechanged it, they're kind of trying to get it.
I liked it back, when I think Tommaso was last champ there.
Oh yeah.
Like around that time. Because it was kind of separated. You've seen all this fresh, new, fast-paced stuff going on, and it was new faces that you knew were going to do something. And I almost felt like in moments sometimes when they went to the main roster, their storyline slowed down, they slowed down, everything like slowed down for them. Almost sometimes not to a halt, but just so abruptly. And I go, oh man, I really was entertained by what they're doing. And now it's completely changed.
And that's the thing, man. Sometimes what works in NXT just doesn't work on the main roster. And it's like, ah, man, like,
Yeah.
why? I don't know what it is.
I kind of almost wish they would have like transitioned a little bit with it, you know, instead of just one or two here and there, do like a whole, kind of a whole integrated sweep over a few months.
Yeah, I think NXT kind of needs freshened up, honestly. I don't know. They're about to lose some of their guys after Mania. You know, there's gonna be a bunch of call-ups. So they're gonna need some like new talent down there or something. I mean, I think Shawn Michaels is doing a pretty good job with it. But I
That's
don't know.
how
If,
I
I,
respect what I respect what they're doing now. That was just saying personal
yeah.
taste.
Oh
Back in the
yeah, of
day,
course.
I guess
Man,
that would have been
yeah.
like the Dusty time frame when he was running it.
I like that, and I liked like the few, couple years right after it. Maybe like 2016, 2017 is when I really stopped watching it regularly, and it was just like I'd tune in for the big events. I wouldn't watch it every week.
Yeah, the takeovers.
Yeah, the takeover. Yeah, when takeovers were really a big thing, like that was like a
Yep.
big deal, you
And the
know.
first few war games with them.
Yeah. Yep.
I really appreciated those. I just don't see matches like that anymore.
Yeah.
I would Corey, you know, Corey Cross.
Yeah, of
I sent him a
course.
video. I sent him a video earlier today. It was of two rings, and Rob Van Dam jumps up to this elevated ring that is easily about 12 feet up at the apron, you know, where the ropes are, but where the apron is, it's an extra 6 feet. Rob Van Dam completely jumps up to this ring that's elevated in front of a crowd. So it's like, you gotta see it to believe it. I'd never seen anything like it before.
That sounds wild. You got to
I'll
say,
send
you have to
you,
send it to, yeah, send it to
I'll
me.
send you the video, because I was like, what in, I've never seen a match like this before. Ever.
That sounds wild. Rob Van
So
Dam's
what
cool,
do you,
man. I love Rob
oh
Van
my God,
Dam.
yeah.
I got to work. I got to work a show at a club in Vegas on his birthday, and he came out, and for his birthday, he came out to watch the Ninja Wrestling show. So
Nice.
that was pretty cool, man. Him and Katie came out. Super down to earth dude, you know what I mean? Just like you'd expect. You can tell from some people when you see him on TV, like, okay, yeah, he acts like he's a down to earth dude, but he's like straight up down to earth dude. Talk to anybody, like super not, you know, because he's used to getting attention for years and years, and eventually, whether you're a good dude or not, he gets old. But some people, they like to talk to people, they like to talk to their fans, and they're just, you know, grateful for that. And that's definitely who Rob is. You know what I mean? You can tell. Good dude.
I think the last time I seen him was at a WrestleCon signing in Maryland. He just came up to me and just shook my hand and was like, "Hey man, how you doing?" I'm like, "Awesome, man!" Like just completely down to earth. Because he came over to talk to somebody else and he was just randomly looked at me, shook my hand, and said, "I was like, you know,
Hell
just
yeah.
humble, humble."
Yep.
Oh. All right. If you could wrestle one guy today, living or passed away, who would it be?
Oh, come on, man. I'm gonna take a match with Jeff Hardy. Could you
Jeff
imagine?
Hardy? Jeff Hardy? All right. All right.
Man. Yeah, let him do the face paint. Come on. My idol, of course, that'd be the one. He's still going. Let me get back in there and get kicking. Let's go. It'd be
For me,
entertaining. We would have some crazy match.
it'd be Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper. Oh, man.
I think it would be epic. Just the dirty tactics, all that. It,
Hell yeah. I
I,
love Roddy Piper,
yeah.
man.
That's a guy that could piss off a crowd. I mean,
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I was watching the one thing where they were saying the build up to WrestleMania for the first one, like they had to have bodyguards with him and stuff, and stay in different places because the fans were so
Yeah,
pissed
man.
off at him.
That's he got that real heat.
And he was stabbed like
One
what?
of the best. One
Three?
of the best to be able to do it, man.
Yeah, stabbed like three times or something like that.
crazy.
Yes, yes. One tough son of a gun. So Jeff
no
Hardy.
Doubt.
All right. Rules.
Oh, it had to be a ladder match. It had to be a ladder match or a TLC match or, oh yeah, of course, man. I mean, I'm gonna go all out. Can't just have a single match. You gotta do something. One of my favorite matches that he had, and this is probably what I'll say, false count anywhere match, because one of his favorite matches that I ever seen was him versus Umaga, and it was just a really good match. And false count anywhere, they're hit or miss, you know. This was a good false count anywhere match. Had a lot of spots, and you know, and at the end he jumped off the top of the WWE's trailer and did that spot. Mm-hmm. And I love stunt spots. You know that there was some kind of something down there. He didn't just land on the asphalt in the parking lot, but it was still cool that they pulled that off, you know, live. You know, WWE doesn't get enough credit for being able to do that type of stuff with a live feed. If you know, that camera's got to stay rolling, so they've got to work it however they worked it. But yeah, so it would probably be a false count anywhere match with Jeff Hardy, so we need to add some stunts in there.
All right, for me with Piper, it'd be a street fight all day.
Street fight, hell yeah.
Yes, because I think a good brawl, like I could picture him being like, you're out at the bar, you had just a few too many beers, you got ballsy, he's already down to six pack, and now all of a sudden you're in the parking lot swinging.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that's the kind of feel like our match would give off in a sense. You know, yeah, yeah.
Bar fight.
Book it, Dano.
Right. But wait, man. So what's new with you, man? What's going on in your life?
Not much these days, brother. I've been out because my shoulder. Was back to work for a little bit, but back out again. Not much in that aspect. Coming up, I have a farm.
You been doing physical therapy and all that?
Yep. Just graduated it. So.
Oh, nice.
We're working on a nerve issue that's going on with it right now. So yeah.
It's always something, right?
I know, right? So I'm trying to figure that out currently. But coming up in May, I am going to be taking over my mother's farm. We're going to be doing that full time. I need to be at least 90% for that, man. Got a lot of plans for it. You know, we have orchards, and we're going to be planting like fruit orchards and. Obviously corn. Gotta have corn.
Right.
Building greenhouses, all kinds of stuff, man. So we're really gonna be turning over a new leaf.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
Awesome, my daughter. Hey, good luck with all that, bro. That's awesome.
Thank you. My daughter, she graduates from the Army coming up on Tuesday. So I leave for Missouri.
Nice.
I'm leaving from Missouri tomorrow morning. I'll be leaving on a jet plane. Yes.
Oh, snap. And, nice, man.
I know, right? And then from there, coming back home. Then my kid's getting married in the Dominican Republic. So.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah, it's got
a lot of stuff going on in your life, man. A lot of positive
yes,
stuff.
Sir.
What's up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So
deal,
taking life day to day, you know, that's all we can do these days.
Hey, that's all you can do. One day at a fucking time, right?
That's right. One day at a fucking time. That's what I always tell
that's
everybody.
It. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, all right, brother. We are over an hour here right now.
Flew by, man.
All right. I know. It flew by really fast. Do you want to do this again sometime?
Yeah, of course, man. For sure.
I had
a blast talking to you, man.
Oh yeah. This is my man Savage Jay, hanging with a bartender. Hey guys. We will catch you next time. Cheers.
If you never need to reach out and talk to somebody, you can text 988. It's the Suicide National Prevention text message hotline. We all need to talk in one way or another. And I know myself, especially being a man, we all get locked in our heads. We need to break that silence and the stigma that men are not allowed to talk. Remember, it's 988 if you're ever feeling suicidal or just need somebody to listen. Again, text 988.
Bass guitars was a lot of-